School? Oh, went back to school? Yeah. Anger, okay. Anybody else? What wears you out? Worry, yeah. Any responses online, Paul, today?
Satan pulling my strings.
Satan pulling strings, okay, that wears you out, yeah. Okay, and so let me ask you this question. Are you tired of living in your own strength and in your own power? I guess really the question is, are you tired of being tired, right? Are you tired of being worn out? Are you tired of doing things yourself? Let me ask you about your relationship with God. Do you wonder if you're good enough for God? Do you wonder if your life is pleasing to God? That he's proud of you, that boy, when he looks down upon you, he smiles. Do you wonder if you're doing things the right way in your walk with God? Or maybe the question we ought to ask is, do you want to live a life of victory? Anybody here want to live a life of victory? Amen. Yeah. So let's look at our verse for this morning. Would you stand with me, please, as we read our verse for this morning? And let's pray. Oh, Father, the Bible tells us that your word is a lamp unto our feet. And Lord, may you illumine your word to our hearts and lives today. Would you reveal to us how we might live a life of victory? And Lord, may it be your victory, not our victory. Please, Lord Jesus, as we stand today and read this verse, Father, help us. We really do want to be your bride in your church today. We want that for our lives because we know that it impacts the lives of others as well. So now we commit to you. Give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Acts chapter 1, verse 5. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. And so today, if you're taking notes, here's the outline of the message. This morning, we're going to see the distinction, we're going to see the development, and we're going to see the dynamic. This is the climax. This verse is the springboard of the reality of the promise of the Father. And so let's look at the distinction. It's interesting here in this verse and throughout Scripture, we see the great distinction between John the Baptist or John's baptism and Jesus' baptism. You see, John's baptism was an outward baptism. Jesus' baptism is an inward baptism. John's baptism was a physical baptism. Jesus' baptism was a baptism of the Holy Spirit. John's baptism was done in the river. Jesus' baptism was done in the river of God's grace. You see, the real contrast in this verse is not between water baptism and spiritual baptism of the Holy Spirit. The contrast that I want us to look at today is really the contrast between John the Baptist and Jesus. This is where we find the real substance of the promise of the Father. And so what do we know about John the Baptist? We know that he was a prophet who called the people back to God. He prepared the way for the Messiah. We also know that John the Baptist was kind of a strange guy. He was a strange man. We know that he lived as a hermit in the desert. We know that he wore garments of camel's hair. I don't know about you, but that sounds awful itchy to me. I think I'll stick with my cotton and polyester. We know that he had a strange diet. Imagine for a moment coming home from work one day, and whoever does the cooking of your in your house welcomes you at the door and says, "Well, tonight for dinner, I put on a pot of locusts and a honey dipping sauce." Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Yum, yes. We know that his hair was unkept. We know that he was appearance as a wild man. And John the Baptist really only had one message. His message was the message of baptism for the repentance of sins, for the forgiveness of sins. We also know that John the Baptist was kind of a ruthless man. He wasn't one of these guys that was concerned about your title or what you did or who you were. In fact, we know that he called the king out for what he did. In fact, we see it here in Luke chapter 3, verses 18 through 20. "And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod the tetrarch because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them all. He locked John up in prison." In fact, we know that John's ministry was a short-lived ministry. He actually only lived about 6 months after this confrontation. But think of the greatness of John the Baptist. He was the best that the law could produce. Before birth, we know that he was a Nazarite. Now, a Nazarite was somebody who would not drink any alcohol, would not cut his hair, and would not touch anything that was ceremonial unclean. In Jewish culture, it was not odd for people to take a Nazarite vow. In fact, people would take it for a month, but maybe for a year. But nobody ever took it for a lifetime. In fact, we see in Scripture there are only three people who ever took the Nazarite vow for their lifetime. One was Samuel, the other was Samson, and the other, John the Baptist. See, they took a vow of sacrifice for their entire lives. We know that as a prophet, John the Baptist was superior to other prophets. John the Baptist broke the 400 years of silence that was between God and the people of Israel. He was a prophet who was called to break the pattern. And so he was unlike any other prophet. It's interesting that all other prophets were used to call forth the Messiah, would foretell the Messiah's coming. But that wasn't John's calling. He really called out and said that the Messiah was here, that the Messiah was present. John the Baptist stood on the shoulders of every other prophet. In fact, Jesus says to him in Luke 1:5, "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other ferment." That's actually back here where I should have covered that. Let's skip that. I tell you the truth, I missed that when I was practicing that too, boy. You know, I need help. I need help bad. I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist, yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. John the Baptist is the best the Old Testament can produce. But Jesus also said John the Baptist was the least. The greatest the Old Testament law could produce is less than those who hear this, is less than those who experience the promise of the Father. Luke 3:16 says, "John answered them all, 'I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire.'" John the Baptist says that he does not even begin to compare with Jesus. Let's go on to look at the development. Remember that Jesus set aside all he knew as God and became a total man. The greatness in Jesus was not his divinity, but his surrender of that divinity in order that he might be a total man and live out the promise of the Father. We enter a new realm with Jesus. He is the first of the new system, and he shows us what a relationship with God is like. Hear that. He shows us what a relationship with God is like. Here is our model. This is the one that we are to look after, but not only one to look after. Let me say this to you today, but this is the one that we are to live like. I think too often in the church, we look at Jesus and say, yep, boy, that's a great iconic figure. Yep, that's a great person, but there is no way that I can live like Jesus. That's a lie. You see, Jesus is the first to experience the promise of the Father, and you and I are next. Jesus fulfills all that God wanted in the creation of Adam. Jesus made the way for many to follow and to experience the promise of the Father. See, John the Baptist is of the old dispensation. Jesus is the first of the new dispensation, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which fulfills the promise of the Father. God's activity through Jesus now becomes ours. We can experience the movement of God, and we can respond to God as Jesus responded, moment by moment, because you and I are children of God. We are brothers with Christ. And because of that, we can experience a new level of living. John the Baptist lived in the realm of doing the best that he could. Let's get real honest right now. How many of you would say that that's the realm you live in? I live in the realm of doing the best that I can. You see, John the Baptist was judged by his discipline and ability to do. But let me ask you something. Why would you want to live there? Why would you want to live there to be like that when you can live in the dynamic of the promise of the Father? Why would you want to live in the realm of checking your list and making sure that you're doing everything right? Why would you want to live in the drudgery of the doing religion? Let's go on to look at the dynamic. Why would you choose to live in legalism when you can live in grace, in the presence of the Spirit? Why would anyone want to limp along in life, just getting by, just doing their best, when you can experience God's best for you? Why would anybody be satisfied with rules when you can respond moment by moment to the leadership of Jesus within? The promise of the Father has come to fulfillment. We can enter into the promise of the Father and into all that He has dreamed for us. We can see from the testimony of Jesus and the Jewish leaders that there is a vast difference between the lifestyle of Jesus and John the Baptist. In Matthew, it says, "For John came neither eating or drinking, and they say he has a demon." You see, no one accused John the Baptist of breaking the laws, yet Jesus is constantly accused. They wanted to kill him. Why did they want to kill him? Because he didn't play by their game. Let me say this to you, my friend. Stop playing by the rules of the world, because works righteousness is of the world. Doing your best is of the world. Doing all you can, working harder and harder and harder, is of the world. They wanted to kill Jesus because he wouldn't follow their Sabbath rules, because he broke their rules. Jesus is different than John the Baptist. He refuses to take credit for anything. He constantly testified that it wasn't him that was working, it was the Father that was working through him. Jesus said to the disciples in the upper room, "The Son of Man came eating and drinking," and they say, "Here's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." But wisdom is proved right by her actions. He said to the leaders in John 14, "Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own, rather it is the Father living in me who is doing his work." John the Baptist never preached like this. Jesus did because he was walking in the realm of the promise of the Father. Jesus was not living out the law. He was not living out self-discipline. He was not doing. He was living out what God was doing. You hear that? See, it wasn't about what Jesus was doing. He was living out what God was doing. Jesus said to his disciples, "But you will be baptized." It's interesting. Here, this phrase is written in the passive voice, indicating clearly a divine act. The entire focus of the promise is on the action of the Father. If it is focused on the action of the Father, who isn't it focused on, folks? Ourself. Robin said it right. It's not focused on ourselves. Every action, I want to say it one more time, every action is immersed in the Spirit until He is the source of every action in our lives. My friends, why would you want to live out of yourself when you can live out of God's activity? Why would you be satisfied to do the best you can do when you can live the best the Father can do through you? Jesus was the only normal man. He lived the normal way. The victory that he had was normal. You see, this is what God intends for everyone. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Everyone." Turn to yourself and say, "This includes me. This is me. This is about you living this out." So, my friends, why? Why would you want to try to settle for living the abnormal way? Let me ask you a question. This is a tough one. Would you put ketchup in your gas tank and expect the car to run right? Would you? Huh? Why not? Ketchup is kind of liquid, depending on the brand you buy. Why wouldn't you put ketchup in your car engine and expect it to run right? Yeah, it would probably more than ruin it, right? Because it wasn't made that way, right? It wasn't made that way. My friends, hear this. You were made to live in the promise of the Father. But far too often, we've been ketchup folks. Now, if you like mustard, you can put your substitute mustard in there. But we're ketchup folks. We're living on our own power. We're living on what we want. And God has so much more for you. Why wouldn't you want to live in the fullness of the Father? Why would you be satisfied with mere rules and religious ceremonies when you can know God in Christ? It is the promise of the Father. And so, as we conclude today, let me ask you, how is your walk with Christ? Would you admit today that you're real good at following all the rules? You know what you're to do and when you're to do them. You know when to stand up and sit down, when to kneel, when to do the things. But are you getting tired? Let me ask you, has your faith in God become lifeless? Has your faith in God become a routine? Is it time to allow the Holy Spirit to have His way completely in the life that He has given to you? Is it time? Is it time to stop living for yourself and your own way? All of you are good Christians, but is that enough? And is that really the victorious life that God wants for you? Do you want to experience His flow through your life? And so it's no longer about you, but it's about Him. Do you want to see Him do miracles through your life? I got to tell you, as long as you're getting in the way, they ain't happening. Right? Or maybe the last question is, who do you want to be like? Jesus or John the Baptist? Who do you want to be like? Do you want the doing religion? Do you want to check off all the boxes? Do you want to struggle getting by from day to day? Wondering if you're good enough? Or do you want to live in victory? So you may say, well, Pastor, that's easy to say. How do I do that? It's quite simple. Are you willing to surrender all to the Father? Because isn't that exactly what Jesus did? He surrendered all to the Father. And it became about the Father moving in and through His life. It became about Jesus checking with the Father to say, Lord, if this is what you want me to do. And so Jesus spilled over into His world, and it really was all about the Father. And so today, would you stand with me as we close in prayer? Oh, Father, I think your heart is aching. I think that your heart is aching because there's a whole lot of people walking around today doing Christianity. Dressing up nice to come to church on Sunday morning, putting their envelope in the offering plate, and then struggling to live victorious lives throughout the week. Lord, and I know that you have more for your children, more for your church. But Lord, I also know that if that's the direction we want to take, the getting by religion, the doing good works religion, then you're going to continue to let us do that. But Lord, I also know that if we will totally, completely surrender to you, if we will say to you, not my will, but thy will be done, then I know that you can raise your people up, your church up, and that we can be a victorious people. And I also know that the weight of the world will become less because you are in and through all the things. You then become life to us. Oh, Father God, I pray for my brothers and sisters that they would come to the place of total and complete surrender to you. And Lord, that would be continual. Jesus continually surrendered to you, Father. Oh, Father, please, I pray, Lord God, that this would be a life of victory and that you might bless them. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. I love you.